We're going to start off this hour talking about contracting, procurement, a lot of efforts to reform government contracting. The Office of Management and Budget says agencies are turning the corner in reducing the risks in contracting. A new fact sheet from OMB shows agencies are competing more contracts and using fewer risky types of procurement, such as time and material contracts. But one former OFPP official says at least some of these, some of the progress could be attributed to insourcing. And Federal News Radio's Jason Miller, he's been following this story all day long. He has details on the progress that agencies seem to be making. So how are agencies making progress with the administration's contracting reform initiative?
Well, the fact sheet released today by OMB shows agencies are making a lot of progress about the against the administration's goal to save $40 billion in contracting annually by 2011 and to reduce the number of high-risk contracts such as time and materials and labor hours, as you mentioned. OMB says during the first two quarters of 2010, the number of new contracts awarded without competition dropped by 10% as compared to 2009. The number of contracts receiving only one bid dropped by 2%, and the number of risky contracts dropped by 7% as compared to the first two quarters of 2009. So these are year-by-year comparisons. Dan Gordon is the administrator of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy.
We had procurement dollars going up year after year, as I mentioned before, by 12%. We have slowed that increase. Had we continued at on a year-to-year basis of a 12% increase, we would already be on the order of $600 billion a year. And the good news is we're nowhere near that. We have slowed that process up.
At the same time, Gordon says the number of fixed-price contracts, which are deemed less risky for the government, and the number of contracts being competitively bid also increasing. I asked him for the numbers. He didn't have them handy, but believes the momentum is moving forward.
Do we trust the data?
That's actually a really fascinating question. In some ways, you have to say yes, because it doesn't behoove them to lie.
It's not an accusation about lying. We've constantly heard about the problems with the data center, the system that collects this data. Do we trust the data, I guess?
Remember, the data is only as good as the data have.
Absolutely.
Right. So it kind of doesn't make a lot of sense. But if you remember what's going on with the federal procurement data system over the years, and now USA Spending, you have to say, this is the data we have, and this is what the data shows. Is it 100% accurate? Is it the best data possible? It's the best data that there is available. So yes, I think you have to say you trust it.
Okay. If we are seeing this progress, what does OMB attribute this progress to? What's causing this?
I think there's several reasons. Gordon says obviously the presidential initiative, that gets a lot of attention right off the bat, but that by itself, you know, that doesn't last too long. We've seen that in the past. People get all excited and then it kind of drains out if there's not a lot of back support. Gordon says that when he speaks to and listens to the acquisition workforce, he hears people are charged up like never before.
When we talk about the need, for example, to avoid sole source contracting, what are sometimes called one bid situations or no bid situations, I am hearing a real effort to get that competition out there. And I think the acquisition workforce can make all the difference. You see the same thing on cost reimbursement. For too long, we've had situations where we do a contract using cost reimbursement pricing because the prior one was cost reimbursement. And why was that one cost reimbursement? Because the one before was cost reimbursement. In other words, we've had too much inertia and not enough rethinking. What we really need to apply is the sort of common sense that any family would use.
Now, Gordon talks about that inertia, and then that's part of what's going on here. Got to change the culture and change that inertia of the culture, and he sees that happening across government. I also talked to John Bashista, who's the director of the Office of Acquisition Management for the Environmental Protection Agency. He says that momentum is real and causing agencies to think differently.
And I think it also kind of heightened the visibility of the perspective that the acquisition workforce involves more than just contracting personnel, more than just contracting officers and contract specialists, but does involve a wide variety of people. The program organizations have a role in the acquisition process, the budget folks, legal counsel, finance folks. And so I think from that perspective, the initiative really helped to facilitate a broader thinking about how we approach acquisition, things like reutilization of excess property, expanding the use of the purchase card system and the rebates we might get off of that. So I think, you know, the benefits are it kind of initiated an initiative that I think is going to build sustainable processes in the acquisition system, and it is going to bring the communities that are involved in that process together and really facilitate collaboration.
Now, EPA had one of those programs that OMB highlighted in the fact sheet. It's Superfund cleanup costs. They moved it from a cost reimbursement contract to a fixed price contract, and EPA predicts that it will save them 65% in cost avoidance. Based on their initial estimate. But you say cost avoidance, is that really savings? And in this case, it is, because EPA had actually had the budget of, and we're going to make up numbers here, but let's say $100 to do this cleanup.
Right.
Now they're only going to pay $35, so the other $65, they are going to apply it to other mission critical needs. So this is real savings. This is not just the pie in the sky. Look, we're not paying as much as we thought we would.
Not just a numbers game.
Exactly. Yeah. But she also says part of the reason EPA and other agencies are finding success is partly due to that return on investment that they can prove to other parts of the agency, not just the procurement people or the program people, but the CFO, who obviously cares a lot about the money. He points to the savings as well as the fact is that if you can show that return on investment, show that there's savings, this can be duplicated and done across other parts of the agency. It's a very interesting change, he says, that's going on.
And they have authority to take, if they have savings, they can spend it in other areas?
They do, and I think that's part of the question is always, what happens to that money? Does it go back? And one of the things that OMB has said, this is previously, let's make sure agencies can keep the savings. I imagine when we talk about, for EPA sense, the Superfund, they get a pot of money to do Superfund contracting, Superfund cleanup. So if how they use it is up to them. That's the color of money that they have.
Okay. Reaction you're hearing around about this word of agencies actually making progress? What are you hearing out there?
Well, the numbers are coming into question a little bit. Not in some of the same vein as what we talked about earlier about, okay, can you trust the numbers? Not that anyone's lying, but how good are the numbers? So we're questioning whether the statistics actually tell the entire story. Robert Burton is a former deputy administrator with OFPP and now an attorney with Venable in Washington.
But I think what you're seeing here, Jason, is, to a large extent, the results of the government's aggressive insourcing initiative. That's why you've seen the reduction with respect to the number of T&M contracts, the number of cost reimbursement contracts. Another thing that's missing from this, have the number of fixed price contracts actually increased or not? It's silent in that regard. And my general impression is probably not, because I think procurement spending, generally speaking, is being reduced across the board.
Burton says his clients, many of them small businesses, are losing people and contracts because of insourcing, and that's where he says that's why he blames or attributes a lot of the change to. Burton also says that he worries that if agencies are spending too much time using firm fixed price contracts, that could get them in trouble. And he pulled out, do you remember the A-12 combat aircraft? This was from the 1990s, before I think our time, covering the federal market. But basically, this is something DOD contracted for on a firm fixed price basis, but it was really an R&D contract for this A-12 aircraft, and they canceled it, got him in litigation. It's been 20 years. So Burton just says, listen, agencies, firm fixed price contracts are good, but they're not for everything, and you also lose some skills that the acquisition workforce has, for instance, with performance-based contracting. He also attributes some of the change to the ability of vendors to protest task order contracts worth more than $10 million. We've seen that, for instance, with the networks contract. Yeah. People are going down that path. He says that gives agencies a little more impetus to do a better job, to check it again, and because knowing that protest is possible, and that could actually slow down the entire procurement process. So he's not saying that they're wrong, that these aren't good things. I mean, these are the types of challenges that every administration for the last 100 years probably has faced, but more competition, better types of contracting, less risk to the government. And he wonders, okay, what's happening? What are some of the kind of, if you will, causes that are happening that maybe we're not accounting for?
So walk people through how this insourcing, why this would make these numbers work, because there's just fewer contracts that are out there because more of this work is being brought in-house?
Exactly. Yeah. The idea is agencies are saying, okay, what contracts we believe were inappropriately contracted out to vendors and should be really inherently governmental work, and they're coming up with some pilot programs and making decisions, and as they say, okay, this was a for instance, time and material contract for these widgets. Well, now we're going to bring those widgets in-house. Well, that's one less contract that's considered time and materials. Mm-hmm. Same thing with competitively bidding. They're no longer sole sourcing this contract to, let's say, an 8A firm. Yeah. They're bringing that in-house. So it's one less contract that's considered sole source. That's Burton's point.
So OMB, what do they say about this concept, this theory that this is mostly due to insourcing?
Right. So I asked Dan Gordon about Burton's claims about insourcing as the main reason for these reductions. And Gordon says insourcing has nothing to do with this effort. He says this is not a case of a shrinking pie.
We are stepping up and saying in agency after agency, led by the Secretary of Defense, frankly, in terms of the dollars that's involved, saying this is something that we cannot afford or this is something that we do not need. But you're also right, when we're running acquisitions, we're running the acquisitions in a smarter way so that the taxpayer dollars are going further.
Gordon says the administration wants to keep the momentum going. He says they have to do a few things. Change the culture. That's always the biggest one for any initiative. And he says that's and that's part of that inertia item that we talked about earlier. Also, workforce training is another big area. He says every agency is focusing on improving the depth and breadth of their contracting officers.
We are working hard to change the culture. Award fee contracts should absolutely not be used unless the appropriate criteria are met. That means that they should really be the exception and not the rule. Even for cost reimbursement contracts as a more general matter, they should not be used except in the situations where they're justified. But getting people to recognize the limits on the use of those vehicles, getting people to recognize the need to reduce risk is a cultural change as much as anything else. One other example, sole source contracts. Frankly, they can be the easiest thing to do when you don't have enough people in your acquisition workforce or your acquisition workforce isn't trained well enough or they're not working well enough. People might say, let's just do a sole source contract because we know this company and we can move quick and easy. The much better answer is no. Fiscal responsibility, using taxpayer funds wisely, means using competition. That can be a slow battle. We are turning the tide.
Gordon says OFPP is sharing examples of success stories, such as the four outlined in the fact sheet from Homeland Security, EPA, the National Nuclear Security Administration, and DOD and Interior. And we're going to post that fact sheet on federalnewsradio.com by tomorrow so people can see it for themselves. But this whole thing, the whole idea behind this is let's reduce contracting by being smarter, by being better stewards of taxpayer money. The question is that what's really happening, or the insourcing issue, or are there other factors that are playing into this?
Mm.